sitting in the basement, Vernon and Carl. Mm-hmm. And Vernon says, you know, what scares the hell out of me? These kids, they're going to be the ones that take care of me when I'm old. And mm-hmm. Carl says, I wouldn't count on it.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, Carl.
Yeah.
Carl is the chorus. Carl is the sage oracle. Carl is the hero of this movie.
The network children ask for it by name. The Defenestrate Media Network.
What happens when mixtapes meet memes? This is Gen Zex. Join JM Bell and Braxton Bunnell as they break down the news, music, movies, trends, and moments that shape Gen X and the world Gen Z is creating right now. We're judging the worlds that raised us, from landlines to smartphones. This is Gen Zex, the culture that was versus the culture that's trending.
You are listening to the world's greatest multi-generational pop culture podcast, Gen Zex, with Braxton.
Hello.
And me. We were just talking about the MacGyver chat from last week mm-hmm. and how short it was because, you know, look, it was a meaningful show to me as a kid. Mm-hmm. It taught me that you could do a lot with a Swiss Army knife. It's why I always have one in my toolbox. I always have duct tape. And that is mm-hmm. because of MacGyver. But past that, there really wasn't, that I recall, any lasting lesson I learned from the show or anything, you know, mm-hmm. other than try and use ingenuity to get yourself out of trouble. And that worked really well for me and consequences to come later. So I feel as though I did MacGyver a disservice last week by not talking about him enough. And the truth is I had nothing left to say about the guy.
No, I mean, that's fair. I mean, in my mind, I kind of compare it to like the older like Ultraman series where they're kind of like monster of the week.
Yeah.
There's not really like an overarching story. There's like a little bit here and there, like as the characters like flesh out.
Yeah.
But beyond that, there's not a ton of like thematical substance to it.
No, it's just a little adventure show.
Yeah. And then that's fine. And that's all it needs to be.
Yeah.
Sometimes the wheel is perfectly fine and we don't need to reinvent it.
It's true. And, you know, if I needed an overarching storyline with Monsters of the Week episodes in between and wanted it from Richard Dean Anderson, I certainly got it in Stargate SG-1. Mm-hmm. You know, because I love that fucking show, too. We'll probably end up talking about it at some point.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
It's a delight. It starts off kind of lower budget and then just gets better and better as it goes.
I think we turned something Stargate on at the shop at one point.
I know I threw the movie on several times.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, great movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed what I saw. I'll have to actually sit down and watch it so I understand what's going on. Yeah. Not just like here and there.
You haven't seen Stargate?
No.
Oh, then that's what I pick for next week.
Oh, okay, cool.
If that'll get you to watch it, that's not my pick for next week. But no, it's worth the hour and a half.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I love sci-fi. It's just one of those movies. It's like, it's not that it hasn't like not interested me. It's just that I've never like gotten around to it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Kurt Russell and James Spader mm-hmm. and that one Indian guy that's in everything, movie, TV, commercials, doesn't matter. I'm trying desperately to remember his name, and I can't, but if you saw a picture of him, you'd know exactly who the fuck I'm talking about.
Eric Avari?
I don't know. Now I have to look it up, too. But oh, this is great audio, by the way.
Yeah.
We're doing a fucking Google search real quick. Not Don S. Davies. No, not the DeLuises. I like the DeLuises. Mm. Yeah, Tony Amendola.
Okay, let me pull him up. Tony.
Tony Amendola. This dude.
Okay, I have seen his
everything.
I have seen his face before.
Yeah. Yeah, you name it, he's been in it.
Okay. Yeah, I think I saw him. Yeah, in Annabelle.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Great actor.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoy him when he pops up and stuff. So let's do this. Let me take you to the week of February 7th, 1985. You know, and if I don't get the fuck out of 1985, there's not going to be any news left for me to read. This is like, I think this is my fourth episode in a row in 1985. So I'm going to break out of 1985 this week.
But this show is a flat circle.
It, yes, it very much is. So during the week of February 7th, 1985, global headlines were dominated by intense overseas violence and United States political battles over the federal budget, a mortar attack by the IRA. The IRA. Remember the last time you heard that? On a police station.
I was gonna say I never grew up in a time where the IRA was in super prominence. I know of the IRA.
Yeah.
Up the raw.
Yeah, I just remember. I remember all this shit happening. It was scary, and mm-hmm. I wanted to go to Ireland because it looked so pretty. Anyway, okay. The IRA blew up a police station in Newry, North Ireland, killing 9 police officers. One of the most violent weeks that they had in years. Reagan was taking a lot of shit from Congress over his proposed federal budget and some defense cuts. What you say?
Defense cuts.
Defense cuts.
I didn't know if I heard you right.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
In arts and culture, Madonna's album Like a Virgin held the number one spot on the charts. Pop artists were gearing up to record We Are the World. In a localized event of note, New York City officially adopted New York, New York as its official anthem.
Cool.
Yeah. And also the week of February 7th, 1985, was released a Little John Hughes film that I used to love called The Breakfast Club.
I want to touch on used to love.
Yeah. So
because I understand.
Yeah. Several F slurs.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of just wildly kind of rapey moments.
Yes. Yes. Very incredibly uncomfortable moments.
Yes. Yes. Now, I don't know why, you know, 13-year-old me didn't know all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I used to have a stutter when mm-hmm. I was younger. And because, you know, my parents were awesome, I saw a speech therapist one time. Mm-hmm. And I think that the speech therapist knew that this was a one-time visit.
Rough.
And so when we were talking, she's like, look, she's like, the easiest thing that you can try. And she says, I don't know if it'll work for you or not, but pick a character in a movie, you know, and try mm-hmm. and talk like them. Try and sound like them. You mm-hmm. know, she says, it's almost like singing. And for me, at that age, I picked Bender,
mm-hmm.
even though I looked like Anthony Michael Hall. And so I did. I watched that movie over and over and over again, just studying his cadence mm-hmm. and trying to teach myself how to talk without a stutter.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked. It absolutely worked. And there, I think, There are a lot of touching, poignant moments for teenagers in the 80s in this film.
Mm-hmm.
It is not empty, and I don't hate the entirety of it.
There were some parts of this movie that I really liked and I really identified with. Like finding out why Brian was in the Saturday detention.
Still makes me laugh. And it is a superb mm-hmm. piece of acting from Anthony Michael Hall.
Yes.
It is some of his best work.
Yeah. But no, like watching that scene, it took me back to a time where I was in that same place. I was in a very dark place. And just kind of like, you know, I got out of it and I've been to therapy and I've worked on it. But like seeing, like I saw myself in that moment when I didn't know what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I didn't know how I was going to make it out. And so I had that moment in this movie where I just kind of really identified with it. And you know, 5 minutes later, Bender's doing something that makes me wildly uncomfortable and
yep.
we're back to status quo.
Yep. But Emilio Estevez as Andrew Clark, the wrestler,
mm-hmm.
it was odd casting at the time, but he just pulled it off. He was absolutely believable.
He was great. Yeah.
Judd Nelson as John Bender. Even mm-hmm. though he's the character that made me uncomfortable the most on this most recent rewatch, and it's been years since I've seen this movie,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, couple of actions, couple of lines, and I'm just like, fuck. There's no Molly Ringwald hates this movie,
mm-hmm.
and I know why.
Oh,
I agree with her.
I get why.
Yeah. I do. I absolutely agree with her.
Yeah, yeah. I would get why anybody told me they hated this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, like, but at the time...
Completely get it.
At the time, you know, this... Okay, you've got the opening quote of the movie. And these children that you spit on as they try to change their worlds are immune to your consultations. They're quite aware of what they're going through. A beautiful Bowie quote.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, you know, is a beautiful soundtrack. An amazing yeah. soundtrack. And you've got all of the most popular actors of the day in a movie directed by a guy who can't fucking lose.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that as I have nostalgia for how these movies made me feel at the time, as I have gone back and watched them, like I've known 16 Candles is cringe as fuck for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of his movies that I've watched and was like, I don't care for this one. It's sexist. It's racist. It's, you know, I don't mm-hmm. care for this one. But Breakfast Club just... Five completely different people having to spend a day together, have an emotional connection. Everything else is to the side. You know, it was when you were a dorky fucking redheaded kid that looked like Anthony Michael Hall.
Mm-hmm.
You would wish for a day like this.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's who it spoke to. But I don't need that kid anymore.
mm-hmm.
I'm fine now. I'm fine.
Yeah, I think this is one of those movies where it's just you kind of had to have seen it at the right age.
Yeah.
And being 27, this was not exactly the right age for me, despite, you know, identifying with some of the themes and the struggles with that the characters go through.
Sure.
But, you know, it has not aged well. And
no, not at all.
No, and it makes I have no better words for it than this movie. There are some moments where I almost wanted to turn it off.
Yeah,
like with when Bender was under the table, like I felt so weird about that. I almost shut it off.
There's a story about that
mm-hmm.
that it was brought up as a shot Hughes wanted, and Molly Ringwald flatly fucking said no.
Yeah,
and so that wasn't her.
Mm-hmm.
For those shots, you know, it was just he was hiding under the desk. He comes out. She slaps him for being a perv.
Mm-hmm.
That was how she thought that the scene was going to go, and that extra stuff was put in later.
That's kind of fucked up.
mm-hmm.
That's kind of really fucked up.
Yeah.
It was. It may or may not be true. I don't know. I could probably Google it right now. We had this conversation, Tiffany and I, last summer when I got a really bad sunburn mm-hmm. and went in to take a shower. And you'll love this. It's fucking ridiculous. I'm about to say it out loud. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
And I took a really hot shower because you remember this? I'm pretty sure I brought it up at least once. A relative, when I was a kid, told me that if you get in the shower and slowly turn the heat up until it's hotter than your sunburn, it'll let the heat out of the sunburn and you'll feel better when you get out of the shower.
I think you have told me that before. And yes. I think then I was also like, that doesn't make any sense.
It makes no goddamn sense. I think I was 10 when he did it.
That's fair. You know? He was playing the long game.
Yeah, and that was in my head forever. And Tiffany's like, that's the most ridiculous fucking thing you've ever said. I was like, what? An adult told me. She's like, the internet. And I'm like, it never occurred to me. That's how we used to get our information.
Mm-hmm.
It was from asshole uncles. our older brother's best friends. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Encyclopedias that were 10 years old by the time they hit the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing.
No, yeah, I do remember that. And yeah, I remember thinking that made no sense then, too.
Yeah. No, and saying it out loud, I mean, it dawned on me pretty quick that it was the dumbest fucking thing I had ever been told.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, I got a couple of points with the movie that I want to make.
Mm-hmm.
The first is Anthony Michael Hall doing the chicks, they just can't hold they smoke.
Yep.
Was so fucking adorable that every time Tiffany coughs on her vape,
mm-hmm.
that line runs through my head.
I did that. I think that was one of the funniest lines in the movie for me.
Yeah. Ally Sheedy was hotter before Claire made her up. And Emilio Estevez is a shallow little jock for not mm-hmm. noticing the pretty goth girl before she put on pink and did makeup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember I watched that shot and I watched her walk out and my first thought was like, she's a doll come to life. Like this is some, like, I'd see this in my mother's cabinet in the living room.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked the redemption arc for Emilio Estevez's guy.
Mm-hmm.
When he told his story and where his motivation to be an asshole came from,
mm-hmm.
you know, that resonates.
Yeah,
it does. And, you know, abusive parenting, that sort of thing, that resonates.
Mm-hmm.
The what's so unsatisfying, they ignore me. That resonates.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of depth in this movie. It was just full of bullshit, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was definitely, like, I think this movie has the thematical approach and the story content to be one of the most, like, impactful films of all time, and it's just weighed down by the language and most of Bender's character.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he still could have been a badass, and I think he still could have been, you know, a rebellion guy, you know, rebel guy or whatever. I think he could have been all those things and not been such an insufferable misogynist.
Mm-hmm.
And then to be rewarded for that misogyny at the end always felt ill to me.
Yeah. I don't think Bender's like arc in this was earned at all.
Oh no.
Like this was literally like Bender does nothing and wins.
Yeah. However, Bender did have one of the best lines at the end there, you know, about the parents. And he's like, wouldn't I just be a really good addition to fucking with your parents?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's like, oh, he gets the good closing line.
Yeah.
Which wasn't fair because it should have been Brian all along.
Yes.
Because to me, in this story, Brian is the hero, flare gun or not.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking flare gun.
Yeah. Went off in my locker.
Yeah. So it is a dichotomy to me how I based myself on that voice and that cadence and that temperance for about half a year, and none of the ick of it washed onto me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm so thankful for that because it could have. You know, I took a tone, I took a cadence, I took a tone, I took a cadence. I did not take the deeper meanings. And
yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a little bit of a miracle. Because like I think that Bender is one of those characters where kind of like Rorschach in The Watchmen, where you're not supposed to identify with him, but people really do anyway.
Yep. Yep. And then the letter. Mm-hmm. Dear Mr. Vernon, we accept the fact that we had to sacrifice a whole Saturday in detention for whatever it is we did wrong. But we think you're crazy to make us write an essay telling you who we think we are. You see us as you want to see us, in the simplest terms and the most convenient definitions. But what we found out is that each one of us is a brain and an athlete and a basket case, a princess, and a criminal. Does that answer your question? Sincerely yours, The Breakfast Club. Now, sitting in the basement, Vernon and Carl.
Mm-hmm.
And Vernon says, you know, what scares the hell out of me? You know, these kids, they're going to be the ones that take care of me when I'm old. And Carl says, I wouldn't count on it.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, Carl.
Yeah.
Carl is the chorus. Carl is the sage oracle. Carl is the hero of this movie.
No, I thought his character was great. I thought his little thing in the library where he was like, I read through your letters.
Yeah. I look in your lockers. I listen to your conversations.
You don't know that.
I don't know. I, you know, again, with the Anthony, I was friends with the janitors at our school.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Yeah.
You know,
they were just people.
My favorite janitor was a guy named Gil. Really, really sweet guy. Had a couple of daughters. Liked soccer. You know, and we'd run into each other in the halls because I was doing theater shit. So I was always there after hours. You know, and we'd shoot the shit for a little while. And that was all through high school. Loved that guy.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I did that with his name was Jackson. He was our like school security guard.
Ah.
Not like the resource officer.
No.
No.
No. He didn't beat his wife.
Mm-mm. Jackson was nice.
Yeah. But no, I mean, there's not much. I'm disappointed in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sad at how poorly it's aged because it was so meaningful to me at the time.
It was interesting for me because this was my first time ever seeing it. And this was one of those movies where it had always been hyped up to me as like a quintessential, like you want like 100 films you have to see before you die kind of stuff.
Yeah, if you're my age.
And so I, you know, read the plots, quick plot synopsis, looked at, like watched the trailer, decided it didn't interest me and moved on.
Yes.
And so watching this for the first time, it was interesting to see this movie and then kind of have the thought of like, this is what everyone was hyping up to me. This is one of the 100 movies I have to see before I die.
If only to go,
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I share that disappointment.
Yeah.
In this, because this
could have been a better movie.
It could have been such a good movie. It could have aged so well. It could be a lasting piece of art in this world.
Yeah.
And I think besides like a couple messages in this movie, I honestly feel like this is just kind of better left behind.
I sadly agree. Unfortunately, I have all the words to the soundtrack memorized.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That wasn't hard.
No, that's fair.
Music. It's got a great soundtrack.
Oh, I loved the soundtrack. It was really good.
Yeah. All right. Well, why don't we take a break and we come back? You could surprise me with your thing.
Let's do it.
In a world where MAGA is banning and burning books, it is a revolutionary act to read. It's Monday in America is a bold collection from the left show's J.M. Bell about politics, family, aging, and the uncomfortable truths we keep avoiding. No talking points, just real life in a divided country. Order your copy of It's Monday in America today for just $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. If you're looking to feel hopeful or inspired, or if you're just frustrated and unsure about where we're headed, this book provides a unique look at the life of a Gen X liberal, the challenges and victories, and the question, what kind of world have we built for our children? It's Monday in America. $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. It's Monday in America. Better to die on your feet than live on your knees.
What if there was one place where comic book fans could get everything? News, reviews, debates, and deep dives every single week.
And not just we read one issue and Googled the rest kind of takes. We're talking 15 years deep, over 600 episodes.
That's right. The world's greatest comic book podcast has been breaking down Marvel, DC, indie books, movies, and fandom culture long before it was cool.
Whether you're a lifelong collector,
a casual fan who just saw the latest superhero movie,
or someone trying to figure out where to even start,
we have got you covered.
We don't always agree, which makes it way more fun.
Yeah, way more fun.
New episodes every Tuesday.
Real opinions, real conversations.
Zero gatekeeping.
Check out the world's greatest comic book podcast at thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Hey kids, comics!
Hey folks, Jeff here. So, you want to start a podcast? Maybe you already did and it's just not going the way you thought it would. Well, here's the truth. It's not about the mic, it's not about the software, and it's definitely not just about posting episodes. It's about building a show that people care about. That's why I created the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. It isn't theory and it isn't fluff. It's a step-by-step breakdown of what actually works. Choosing a name, choosing a topic, building your structure, growing an audience, trying to turn your podcast into a brand, and maybe even a business. If you're serious about podcasting, this is a good place to start. And if you're just tired of guessing, this is how you stop. Check out the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy and build something worth listening to. You could find more information at theleftshow.com. So the World Cup is working its way towards a conclusion,
mm-hmm.
and the guys can't play every day. So there's like a week in between matches. So I'm going days without football.
Oh, and you're fiending for it.
I really am. And and like I'm watching, I don't know if you ever watched it, it was a show called Heroes. It's on NBC.
I never watched it. I know some of the plot, and I know that my dad really liked the first season.
The first season was amazing. The other three seasons were for reasons that don't make sense to me.
Okay.
But cool. Yeah. fuck. I don't know. I don't know. So I'm watching Heroes. Mm-hmm. I'm watching season one on Netflix because I don't know what the fuck to watch. I've watched three episodes of X-Men 97.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was yesterday when I didn't have anything to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was only two games yesterday.
Do you have Hulu?
Yes, through Disney.
Watch Snowfall.
Snowfall?
Yes.
It's oh, yeah, you were telling me about
yes, that. Yes, it's so good. It's so amazing.
Okay, I'll look it up.
And it's only six seasons. So it's relatively short.
Hey, I made you watch this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'll watch something that you want me to watch.
I think you'll like it. Did you ever watch Breaking Bad?
No.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
Sorry.
That's fine. No, that's fine. It has a lot of... I draw a lot of comparisons to Breaking Bad with it. But the characters do feel very distinct. And honestly, I like the character arcs in Snowfall more.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I will give it a shot.
Please do.
As soon as I'm done with season one of Heroes. So what do you got for me this week?
All right. So I want to, for this week, mm-hmm. go back to May of 2004.
All right. Howard Dean was doing well in the polls.
On May 1st, 2004, the European Union experienced its largest single expansion with 10 new member states joining the Union. Cyprus, Czech Republic, Estonia, Hungary, Latvia, Lithuania, Malta, Poland, Slovakia, and Slovenia. Let's see. On May 6, 2004, NBC aired its final, the series finale of the hit sitcom Friends.
Mm.
An estimated 51.1 million Americans tuned in to watch. Massachusetts became the first state to perform a legal same-sex marriage, with ceremonies occurring on May 17th, 2004. Way to go, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Top songs of May 2004 included Yeah by Usher, featuring Ludacris and Lil Jon. Still one of my guilty pleasure songs. One of my vocal stims is just Lil Jon ad-libs.
Is that the yeah.
No.
I don't know this song.
Yeah, you should Google it. It's you'll recognize it once you hear it. It is incredibly popular still.
And it's, who was it? Usher?
Usher, Ludacris, and Lil Jon.
There we go. Okay, stand by. Okay. It's very blue.
Mm-hmm. Are you watching one of the old like YouTube lyric videos from like 12 years ago?
I know this song.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, very popular.
That's deep.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get lyrics like that anymore.
In the club with my homies. I believe it was the opening line. Other top songs included This Love by Maroon 5, The Reason by Hoobah Stank, and Dirt Off Your Shoulder by Jay-Z.
Okay.
And then, May 7th, 2004, a critically acclaimed documentary released that I have a very special dislike for.
Okay, I'm looking forward to this.
And that documentary is Super Size Me.
This, when it came out, was fucking huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was yes. It was amazingly huge.
Still holds a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The documentary follows Morgan Spurlock as he embarks on an experiment where he claims that he will eat McDonald's for 3 meals a day for 30 days and see what happens to his body. And I believe over the course of it, he ended up gaining a bunch of weight, gained 17 pounds in 12 days.
What?
On day 30, it achieved his goal. He ate 90 meals, which is close to the number of meals consumed in 1 month in an 8-year period. Let's see. Documentary end text states that it took Spurlock 5 months to lose 20.1 pounds and 9 months to lose another 4.5.
Okay.
His then girlfriend, now ex-wife, began supervising his recovery on a vegan detox diet, which became the basis for her book, The Great American Detox Diet.
Okay.
Now, the reason why I don't like this movie is because it lies to you all the time.
Okay.
And Morgan Spurlock lies to you throughout this movie.
Okay, not unknown of, not unheard of.
It would be revealed, I believe, after his death, because he passed away in 2017, in his 50s from complications from cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Or sorry, 2024 is when he passed away. There was a controversy revealed where he admitted that during the filming of Super Size Me, he suffered from severe alcoholism and did not disclose that.
Okay.
And was drinking extremely heavily throughout the filming of the documentary. And this severely skewed the results of the documentary. I believe there's one moment in the film where his doctor says that his liver looks like an alcoholic's after a binge.
Yikes.
And his response is, well, it must be all this McDonald's I'm eating.
Hmm.
So based on that alone, I didn't like this movie when I saw it for the first time. I saw this movie for the first time in, I believe, my health class in like seventh grade. And it was just the only thing that I took away from it was that when they put the McDouble in the sealed container and then they leave it for a month and it doesn't grow mold. And I was like, wow, the wonders of preservatives.
Yeah.
Which is like, that's what we made it to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, well, that's what it's supposed to do. I don't think it's shocking that the thing we made to not mold didn't mold.
Yeah. Cause it was done on purpose.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, this movie at the time was very wildly praised, grossed 11 million worldwide. It's the seventh highest grossing documentary of all time. I believe after this movie came out, there was a counter documentary called Fathead, because another controversy that happened during this is Spurlock would not release the logs that he took of the calories that he ate. So none of it could be replicated or proven that he actually ate what he was said he was eating.
Okay.
And there was one guy, I wish I could remember his name, but he did the exact same challenge and followed like a calorie matching or calorie deficit diet and lost weight. While Spurlock, I believe it came out later, he was told he should only be eating 2,500 calories a day, and he was eating 5,000 to 6,000 a day.
Okay. Which is not hard to do at McDonald's, though.
Yeah.
You know?
But yeah, I don't know. It's just, I'm not a big fan of this documentary just because of like the dishonesty. And also Spurlock is not a good guy either. In 2017, Spurlock wrote a blog post admitting to what he described as a history of sexual misconduct.
Oh boy. I missed that.
Yeah, in the midst of the Me Too movement, he stated, "I've come to understand after months of these revelations, I am not an innocent bystander. I am part of the problem." In the post, he said he committed sexual misconduct in his past, including being unfaithful to every wife and girlfriend he ever had. He recounts settling a sexual harassment allegation brought by his assistant at his production company. In the same post, he recounted that he had been accused of sexual assault in college. So the list just goes on. Like,
how does that all happen and you don't know you're a bad guy?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? Don't you have friends that tell you that you're a slimy scumbag?
Yeah, like what? I don't understand how it took until the Me Too movement for him to realize.
I'm gonna get caught any second now.
Yeah, so I think that's what it was.
Why don't I get ahead of this?
Yeah, after publishing the blog post, he stepped down from his position of Warrior Poets, a company he co-founded in 2004. Let's see, told the Associated Press in 2019, for me, there was a moment of realization as somebody who is a truth teller and somebody who has made it a point of trying to do what's right, of recognizing that I could do that better in my own life. We should be able to admit we were wrong.
I mean, I don't hate the sentiment. I just hate why, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want to know what you thought of this documentary.
It made me hungry.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's very fair.
Yeah. He's like, look at this Big Mac. It looks just like it does in the picture. I'm like, I want to get one that looks just like it does in the picture.
I've never had a McDonald's burger look like it does in the picture.
Never. No.
No. And if I have, that will be the seventh seal. I'll hear the trumpets. It'll all be over.
No, it's. So I remember when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it when it came out, and I think my takeaway at the time was, yeah, and
yep, I believe that was my exact takeaway from this movie. Well, yeah, well, yeah, if you eat fast food every single meal for a month, you're gonna feel sick.
Yeah. I just had fast food breakfast too much at one job and put on 20 pounds in about a month and a half, you know?
Yeah.
Because yeah. I was making a little money and I could stop at fucking McDonald's on my way into work, and that made me happy.
Mm-hmm.
And then that turned into Einstein's, and then that made me happy. And then I tried to put a pair of pants on. They didn't fit anymore. And I was like, oh, fuck, God damn it. I did it again. So...
But yeah, he had several other documentaries come out after this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I haven't seen any of them because of how I felt about this one.
Yeah.
He did Super Size Me 2 in 2017. Where in the World is Osama Bin Laden in 2008?
I remember that one.
Rats in 2016.
I didn't see that one.
That was a horror documentary, I believe. That just chronicles the rat infestations in major cities.
Great. That's a fun one, Morgan.
I don't really have a ton to say about this documentary. Besides, I feel like it is a gross mishandling of the truth. And I don't like Morgan Spurlock.
Okay. No, that's fair. I met him in 2008,
mm-hmm.
At the Sundance Film Festival, and I was up there reporting for our local NPR affiliate,
mm-hmm.
And basically what I did was a series of, I'm going to call them podcasts, even though that wasn't a thing yet,
mm-hmm.
It kind of was, but it was, I failed at that job so much.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that could go wrong went absolutely wrong. And yeah. So my trip to the 2008 Sundance Film Festival for my buddy who hooked me up and let me do it was basically a travel log of here's Jeff's fuck ups in town.
That's honestly kind of fun.
I think it was, you know, I thought it was fucking hilarious, but I never got asked to do it again.
I would love to read a travel log of someone going to like a festival for their job and just every horrible thing that happens along the way.
Someday I'll go to Burning Man and I promise to write a book about it.
Sweet.
Yeah, I do. All right. Well, I think that's about a show then. Why don't we go ahead and cut it off here and move this party over to Patreon. What's that you say? Patreon? Why, yes, I answer. Patreon. Patreon.com/DefenMedia. D-E-F-E-N Media. Every week that we record, we put special content over there on the Patreon for our friends that listen to it there. Sometimes there's free stuff. You could sign up as a free patron. You know, most stuff is behind the paywall. It's a very small, very, very ineffectual paywall.
Very reasonable.
It just, oh, Jesus, I've got to fix that. So before I do, get in on the ground floor. Patreon.com/DFenMedia. In the meantime, thank you, Braxton. This was fun.
This was a ton of fun. Yeah. As always.
Outstanding. And then we'll see you next week.
We'll see you guys.
Did you like the show? Join JM and Braxton on Patreon. Patreon.com/DefenMedia. Each week they record, they upload additional content exclusively for the Patreon family. Patreon.com/DefenMedia.